Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome back to Whiskey Congress, the post-Thanksgiving edition. We are back from the holidays. And before we get into the show, I want to talk about our buddy Michael Wood Jr. He is now a published author. His new book, Crimes and Punishments in the 21st Century, is available on Amazon. We talked to him a little while ago, and he gave us a sort of an advanced manuscript. It's a really fascinating read. It's his thoughts on how to make the criminal justice system better. A real smart guy. He's spent a lot of time studying and writing, and definitely worth a read. So please check it out, Crimes and Punishments in the 21st Century by Michael Wood Jr. Had a good holiday, Steve. How'd you do?
Can't complain, man. I got home to see the family. I don't know if we talked about this on the show, but my familial dynamic has changed a little bit where, you know, my dad has moved out to St. Louis. His job sent him out there, and so my mom's staying back, and my dad's been away for a little bit. So what's weird is that it's not the first time I've been away from my parents. Like, I went away to college, right. I went away to law school, and then kind of came back to Ohio after the fact. And so I've been away from my family before, but with my dad moving to St. Louis temporarily, for work purposes, it just has been a little bit odd for me, and it threw me a little bit off balance. And I spent a lot of time on the road, so there wasn't much I could do about it. I wasn't able to spend a lot of time with him before he moved. So this is the first time I've been able to really connect with him since that happened. And it was a good holiday with a different meaning for me this time around.
Right, I mean, I guess kind of this is the first time your dad wasn't where you knew you could find him.
He's
coming back to
you. I mean, and that's kind of, I guess that's the weird sort of thing. Like, my dad, he's never been away from my mom, so that whole dynamic is weird. Like, I since this happened, I call my dad, I call my mom, and I try to make sure that they're both doing okay, because they've never been away from each other, and they lean on each other so heavily. Like, I worry about my dad, eating and cleaning, and then I worry about my mom, like, having, stopping, because my mom is go, 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 go. And my dad is very laid back, and they balance each other out perfectly. They're each other's yin and yang. And so now that they're apart.
Cowboy Steelers yin and yang.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's true. My mom is a Cowboys fan. My dad is a Steelers fan, and which is where I got it. And, I worry about them, kind of falling into their own sort of psychoses to deal with this. And so it was good to kind of see them together, but it's a weird thing. And I'm a 37-year-old man here. So, kind of suck it up, cowboy. But at the same time, it's tough, and I know, you lost your dad
three years ago. Yeah.
And so that's a completely different sort of situation. But anytime you have a change in your relationship with a family figure, especially like a parent, I think we like to think as adults, we just kind of deal with it and move on, but it shifts you.
Oh yeah. I'll let you know when I get over it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's it. That's something that I'm not looking forward to, because at some point in time, I'm going to have to deal with that, loss. And
right. I didn't mean to go all dark.
No.
But really, I mean, you're real. You're being real.
It's coming. And I guess for me, this was the big sort of, holy shit, like, things are different. And I'm a person who doesn't like change, and this is a big change for me. So having to deal with it a little bit,
How was the food?
Well, all right, so the food was, I have to assume, was very good. I didn't eat a lot of it because I have, kind of jumped back on.
Oh, you're training, shit.
Yeah, jump back.
Sorry,
on.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, no, nah, I jumped back on the nutrition.
I'm not sorry,
train.
But I forgot about the whole.
And I got the Arnold Sports Expo coming up in a few months. That'll be in the first week of March. And so, I started training a little bit early. I jumped ahead of Thanksgiving, thinking, the holidays are times where we eat and we enjoy the food and everything else, and then that's when you put on excess weight. So I went into Thanksgiving saying, okay, I'm not going to have, you know, this just gluttonous display of food consumption. So I restricted myself to the white meat, and, you know, I a lot of vegetables, avoided pretty much a lot of food that I normally would partake
in. Just say
in.
No to stuffing, Steve.
Yeah, and I only went up like, you know, 0.8 pounds. So, you know, I was,
few escape the holidays with that kind of number.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty happy with the number, but I was annoyed because there's a lot of stuff that I had to avoid, you know, over the course of the holiday. And then, you know, leftovers and everything else, which I took, my mom was just beside herself that I wasn't eating her corn pudding. I wasn't eating this and that. And she's like, well, you may want it later. I'm like, Mom, do you get what I'm trying to do here? So she sends me home with this big thing of food that I feel bad, but I ended up throwing some of it away, just because what else?
I wasn't trying to get you to confess that.
No, I had to. I had to do it because otherwise I was going to eat it, and then it would just sort of threw off my macros, and it would have been a mess.
Right. Well, I went to West Virginia to spend some time with my mom.
West Virginia.
Now, you know what? It was funny because, you know, I went to college there, and I stayed in a hotel because my mom's sister and many more cats than I would like to admit live with my mom. And my sister didn't live there. She was visiting. But the cat-to-human ratio was 2-1, and there were 3 humans there. Do the math.
Too much.
Yeah.
God. I would have honestly, died. I literally would have died.
It was, you know, I'm definitely allergic to cats. True. Anyway, it was great, though. My mom put me to work, made me redo her floor. My sister did the majority of that. And while I was there, my brother showed up at Thanksgiving dinner, and he handed me a bottle of Chivas Regal. And he's like, hey, man, he does electrical work on the side. He's an electrician. He got his electrician thing, whatever, and he does it on the side. And he did some emergency work for a friend. And this friend said, hey, thanks. Here's a body of Chivas Regal 12, which for you or I would be an appreciated gesture, but he doesn't drink. Mm. So he said, will you drink this? Yes. Yes, I will.
Now, shame on him.
Yeah, well, exactly. He was never a drinker, really. But so we're drinking Chivas Regal 12.
Yep, and so that's going to be our whiskey review for the week, for the day. So jumping right into it, tell me your thoughts.
Real smooth, not a ton of flavor, very easy drinking. It kind of reminds me of a sort of middle to upper Johnny Walker. It's there. It's got, you know, it doesn't have a lot of burn. There's really no smoke. There's no peat. So it's not my style of scotch, but for what it is, it's very good. Or I said, it's good. I'm on the, I'll go first this time because people have accused me of hearing your score and then boosting it by 2. I'm going to go 86.
Okay. Well, so Chivas Regal 12, it's a blended scotch. And when we say blended versus single malt, what it means is that you have a blended scotch is literally what it sounds like. They have taken multiple scotches. Sometimes they use multiple single malt scotches. Other times they use multiple blends, or they use a combination of blends and single malts. They use different types of malts, and then they use other cheaper spirits to
boost, for lack of a better word, yeah.
You know, kind of add a little bit of meat to the bones of the whiskey, and then they age it for 12 years, and then boom, there you go. You have a blended scotch. In terms of blends, you know, Chivas is a middle-of-the-road scotch. They've got a decent presentation, and, you know, the way the bottle looks, the way the label looks, that's important in the world of spirits. Because it's what draws your eye to it on the shelf. When you're looking,
drives sales, doesn't drive
taste. Right.
Though.
It does, and that's important if you're talking about what's buying it. So they've done a decent job of presentation. It's a name that's well known. They spend a lot of money on marketing, and I guess for me, they could spend a little bit more money on the actual whiskey itself. It doesn't have a dynamic taste. I know some people who love Chivas, and this is their whiskey of choice. And part of that reason is because of that smoothness, right? Kind of a honey, sort of a there's like honey and vanilla. It's very soft, but there's not a ton of flavor. There's not a ton that, you know, you really grab onto and say this is distinct and this stands out. A lot of the tasting notes are very subtle. And you need a very clean and refined palate to pick up on them because they're so subtle. And like you said, there's no peat, so there's no smoke, in which you don't need those things for a scotch to be good. Those are, like, we like
them. It just happens to be things we like.
Right,
yeah.
Like, we like them because it just, like, they stand out. It's one of those things, like, peat and smoke make, like, they're kind of, they taste bad, and initially you don't like those things, but after a while you grow to appreciate them, and it's an acquired taste. And so I guess for me and you, that's our kind of our starting marker. But
right.
There's plenty of good scotches that have no smoke, no peat. They don't have that taste, and they don't right. have that flavor.
If it starts with Glen, it probably doesn't have those.
Right. But that being said, the Chivas, even though I'm saying you don't have to have smoke and you don't have to have this or that, this just doesn't. It's not a standout, and it's another one of those whiskeys that's mass produced. If you look at the ABV, like I haven't looked at it, but I'm pretty sure it's 40 proof. 40% alcohol, 80 proof. It's not.
You are correct.
And it's mass produced, and it's going to be the same across the board, which is okay, which is fine. But it's a middle of the road scotch. It's a decent scotch that I would serve at a wedding. Or some sort of gathering.
Give us a score. Go ahead. It looks like you're setting it up to.
No, I'm not. I'm just telling you. Like it's one of those things where if you have people over to the house, and you don't want to waste a good scotch on them, then you give them Chivas, right? Like if you got
give it a number.
Hey, don't like I'm trying to explain it here. Don't rush me. Who the fuck are you?
You're shitting on my brother's scotch, man.
What? I'm not shitting on your brother's scotch. I'm just explaining what you use this for. Listen,
all right.
You're going to wait. You'll get my score when you get it. You're going to wait. Let me explain why you use this scotch. You use this scotch at a wedding. You use this scotch when you have a large gathering of people who's not scotch drinkers, but you have that one guy who says, oh, yeah, I like whiskey, but he really doesn't like whiskey. He's just that guy who talks about shit all the time but knows nothing about it. This is where, and if you put this in front of him, he'll absolutely say, "Oh, Chivas, this is the good shit. This is the shit that I have, right?" Like he doesn't know good whiskey from his own asshole, but he'll drink the Chivas and then he'll pump it up. So here's the deal: it's a decent scotch. It's probably a good bottle to have on your shelf. And so, if I'm rating it, I'm giving it an 85.
Okay,
which I wrote down here.
We were gonna do a.
I got
a little bit of shit because
see
someone.
That?
Yeah, I see that.
It's 85. I wrote that down.
Someone gave me shit for. Basically, listening to Steve's score and pumping it up by 2 points, which I was being honest, but we decided we're going to do one of us is going to give it, the other one's going to write it down. So, 86.85, a good, nice, drinkable scotch. Again, not necessarily my forte or yours, but lots of people will enjoy it, and it's definitely smooth.
Right.
And
I mean, there's nothing, it's not a bad scotch. It's just that, there's plenty, there's better scotch out there. And I like to think that we're open to tasting all the scotches.
Sure.
And so we'll go,
I'm sure there's something out there. Be careful with
right.
all.
I mean, we're open to any number of scotches. And so it's not just, the highest end of the stuff that we like, but I think we need to kind of taste a little bit of everything.
Anybody who wants to throw a suggestion out there, please email us.
Hit us up on Twitter.
Jim at Whiskey Congress or Steve at Whiskey Congress or hit us on Twitter. We're open-minded. So anyway, I was in West Virginia for the holiday and, I decided to stay in a hotel to avoid being eaten by cats in the middle of the night. And I decided that, like you, I wanted to try to take a little bit of care of myself over the holidays. I knew I was going to be going visiting a friend and doing some hunting and stuff and walking around the woods. But I went to the hotel gym on, I want to say it was Thanksgiving Day. Regardless, I go to the gym and I'm sitting there in the gym alone doing a few pull-ups and some thrusters and stuff. And of CNN on, and the LeVar Ball, Chris Cuomo interview was on, and the Trump response to the LeVar Ball Trump interview, LeVar Ball Chris Cuomo, Trump's response to that was on there, and what a bizarre! I mean, he called him a poor man's Don King, which I'm sure you'll have comments on, but I couldn't get around the fact that. You didn't mind walking around with Don King when you were campaigning there, right. Mr. Trump?
Well, I mean, I think it was, he didn't have a problem with Don King, but he knew, Don King looked like a joke, a caricature doing that. You know, Don King is in his 70s.
Right.
He doesn't move around.
But Don King has been a caricature by design for a long time, I mean, right? Like the hair and the...
Right. And so, you know, watching Don King walk around with Donald Trump, it's just like... Okay, Don. Like, yeah, you know, par for
make,
the course.
Make me relevant again.
Exactly.
Make Don King. We're gonna get a hat. Yeah, that
says get a red make hat.
Don
that
King
says,
relevant
make,
again.
You know, make DK relevant again. But, you know, I think by Trump referencing Don King, it was to minimize. That was by design because he wanted to minimize LeVar Ball's impact overall. Right, his importance. Like Don King is an irrelevant character who hasn't been relevant basically since Mike Tyson. You know, was a world champion and, you know, is this, you know, older guy. He says, you know, he's Don King minus the hair, right? I mean, like, there's you know, the age gap of people who would even know who Don King is, and then there's, like, the racial aspect of it. You know, he compares him to another loudmouth black guy. You know, I mean, and listen, LeVar Ball did himself no favors in that interview, in my opinion. I mean, it was some of it was unintelligible. Some of it was... There was no logic there. I kind of get what he's saying to a certain degree. And I think there was some legitimacy to what LeVar Ball said. LeVar Ball said in the interview that it wasn't Donald Trump that got his son free. Like he said, listen, I talked to a few people on the ground and there were more people involved. It wasn't just Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't go get his sons out of jail. His sons weren't in jail. They were sitting in a hotel room, you know, in trouble. That happened before Trump had gotten involved. You know, there was a New York Times article that kind of talked about how, you know, as much to-do was made about shoplifting in China and how it was punishable by 5 to 10 years in prison. Ultimately...
Is that actually true? I don't even...
It is true.
Okay.
But... This article in the New York Times made it. Now, listen, New York Times, obviously left-leaning, is willing to counter. You know, they're obviously part of the, you know, left's resistance to Trump. So, you know, I have to kind of look at what they're saying with that third eye. But, you know, this New York Times article is saying that, you know, shoplifting, while is technically punishable by 5 to 10 years in a Chinese prison, that typically Americans... who get busted for shoplifting aren't jailed. It ends
probably
up,
at all, right?
Right, like they basically are told to leave and not come back, and that's kind of the end of it, right? I mean, and this isn't the first time that it's happened. Usually they don't go to jail, and it's not usually a big issue, and especially when you have, you know, a high-profile situation like this, it's usually not turned into that big of a deal. And so for Trump to go in and take... you know, and claim that he was the sole reason that the guys got out. I mean, because, you know, in Trump's tweet, he says it wasn't the White House. It wasn't the State Department. It wasn't anybody. Just me. It was just me. Praise me. I'm Donald Trump. I did it by myself.
That was the part that I found most unprofessional and disturbing. It's like, look, you're the president of the United States. That's not enough praise for you. The fact that, because I saw other sources that said, you know, UCLA got involved, diplomats got involved, and basically was like, okay, these kids made a mistake. Nothing really, you know, no one benefits from.
And so that's what LeVar Ball was referencing when he's saying UCLA got involved. There were other non-government entity type diplomats that got involved that were aware of the situation before it became public news, which is before Donald Trump got involved, right? And so there's some legitimacy to what LeVar Ball is saying. And so Donald Trump immediately jumps in and tries to...
He was losing the glory, and he was like, no, right, well, this must be about me.
Well, yes, he was trying to make the attention about him, but at the same time, attacking LeVar Ball, trying to attack LeVar Ball's credibility, right, immediately, like, through via Twitter.
Of course.
Right, in 248 credit...
280 now,
280,
up 140, yeah.
Yeah, 280 characters now. He's trying to attack LeVar Ball's credibility... by saying it wasn't any of LeVar's so-called people on the ground. Well, the so-called people on the ground, UCLA, I saw somewhere
the U.S.
that...
The Embassy, I'm sure.
Right. I saw somewhere that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar might have been involved, and that would make sense. Like, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar went to UCLA. I mean, he's well-respected around the world, and he's the type of guy who could... I feel that he can maybe go... you know, I could see him being able to call up someone from China and say, hey, listen, these guys are idiots, and let me, you know, whatever. Right. I mean,
let me guarantee whatever you need to.
Yeah, and so I could see him being able to have the necessary.
And he was an airplane. You can't dismiss that. Jim. You cannot dismiss that.
Oh, Jim. But yeah, I mean, and so
it was a weird thing. I'm literally working out watching that.
So
going,
the interview itself, I mean, LeVar Ball crashed and burned. He looked like an idiot to anyone with any sort of like semblance of common sense and education is looking at LeVar Ball and saying, "What are you doing?" Now, listen, I this is what I would say. I've been known to be stubborn, right?
Yes,
but I've been known to be stubborn. I could easily see myself saying, I'm not thanking him. But I would just come out. I'm not thanking him.
Oh, okay.
But I would just come out and say, I'm not thanking him because I don't have to, and he needs to get over it. I don't have to explain myself. I'm just not going to thank him. My son thanked him, right? Like, I mean, if I'm LeVar Ball, I'm going to say, my son thanked him. That was enough. He doesn't need thanks from me because he didn't do anything for me. He did it for my son.
Or let me throw a Don King angle out there. LeVar Ball is definitely a marketing guy.
No.
Hold on. Let me do this. LeVar Ball is a marketing guy, right? He's trying to market his kids coming out of college, his first kid coming out of college. This is nothing but gravy for him, right? I mean, he's wearing baller or whatever. I forget the
big baller.
Big ball. Sorry, see, it worked. He's wearing his logo while on CNN. Arguing with the president of the United States with his 27 million or whatever.
I don't think he was wearing the logo.
He was. Oh. At least, I shouldn't say that. I don't know about that. I saw him wearing that on CNN, maybe responding to it. That's what I saw on the TV when I was in the gym at the hotel.
Right.
So he was promoting his brand. I mean, talk about great free advertising.
That's not what I want to talk about, though. Honestly, okay. I don't give a shit about him.
I was giving him credit for, you know.
Stop, because no one watching CNN is going to be like, oh, he's wearing Big Baller Brand. Let me look that up and buy some shoes.
I'll tell you
or
what,
shirt.
Take a look at my shoes right now. They are.
Probably New Balance.
New Balance, yeah.
Fucking. I didn't even need to see them to know. I knew that they were New Balances.
They are New Balances.
Fucking. I'm over 40 white guy. I'm going to buy the most practical tennis shoe I can.
Fuck you,
but I'm going to get a little edgy, and I'm going to buy them in black instead of white. Like,
oh, so you said you wanted to move on. Let's move on.
Sorry.
There's a whole lot of... All right, we actually need to focus on this a little bit. So another thing I read while in my hotel over Thanksgiving was there was a guy named Steve from Whiskey Congress who had something to say about Lena Dunham. It wasn't necessarily
okay. So let's do this.
Yes,
I've never been a fan of Lena Dunham's. Now let me explain this. I think her show Girls is good. It's a good show. It doesn't appeal to me.
You're not their target, nor am I.
Right. They're not trying to target me. I mean, I guess in a way they're trying to speak to me, kind of like to say, hey, this is what women go through. But I'm a black male in my middle 30s,
upper 30s.
In my upper 30s, but still kick your ass.
I'm 10 years older than you. Good for you, tough guy.
But there's guys 10 years younger than me who couldn't do a thing with me. So,
all right, we've established that you are the
fourth
baddest man on the planet behind. We'll come up with it anyway. Yes, you're not a fan of Lena Dunham. You are not her target demographic.
I do think the show is good. It doesn't appeal. I mean, I get bored because I can't relate to it. Right.
I've watched it and I feel the same way. I'm like, yeah, okay, I mean, this is like, entertaining.
Right.
Artistic,
and I think
but
so.
Whatever.
And so I want to preface this by saying I think that she's talented. I think she's talented in, you know, I mean she's roughly my age, maybe a year younger ish and she has produced and directed and written a show that has mass appeal. The girl has talent, I think she, even on her show, she's entertaining, and that's about where it stops. I don't think, you know, she poses herself as a social justice warrior, as a person who's all about all the people, for the people, and, you know, very far left progressive values and everything else. And I've been calling bullshit pretty much since the inception of our show. She's been known to you know, come out and say, you know, the most ridiculous things against people, and calling people out for their isms, right?
Right.
Racism, sexism.
I don't remember what the issue was. I remember one time you were saying, I'm sure this is out there on the left. And I said, you know, I haven't seen that. And your response immediately was, you know, find Lena Dunham's Twitter. Now, we didn't do that. I don't even remember what the issue was, but that's your go-to for the self-congratulating progressive.
Right, and that's exactly what she is. She's a self-congratulating progressive. She's the type of person who says, who tells you everything you need to know about being progressive left, right? I mean, and she puts herself in the forefront, and she's out there screaming and fighting, resisting Donald Trump and resisting, you know, men, because men are sexist and evil and bad and blah, blah, blah. You know, we got to support the gays and the trans and all this other stuff, and she's all about all that shit. And you know, like, and everybody and all white men are racist and the whole fucking tiddly-do. And for the longest time, I just, like, for me, it just, she felt, and to me, I thought she was and is insincere. I just, she didn't come across as legit to me. I called her on her bullshit multiple times. And she proved me right. I think she ended up proving me right.
I liked your article.
And I guess we should explain it, right? If you haven't read my article, that one of the producers on her show was accused of rape, sexually assaulting and raping a young actress on the show. The girl, I think, was 17 at the time. He was in his 30s. She's a girl of mixed race. And the reason why that's important, I'll get to in a moment. But the producer was accused of raping this girl. Now, you know, if you're listening to our show in real time, you know, like as we put it out there, then you're probably aware of Harvey Weinstein and Al Franken and pretty much every man and Kevin Spacey and all these people that are accused of sexual assault. And it's out there. And women are coming out more and more and saying, I'm not going to be silent about the way I've been treated by men. And that's a good thing. We need that. It needs to be out there. We need to hear it. And one of Lena Dunham's producers was accused of sexually assaulting a young girl by a girl. And Lena Dunham did not come out in support of her actress. She came out in support of her producer. And there was some backlash there. And one of the writers on her new project is a black woman who said, you know what? F you, Lena Dunham. I don't support you. I'm not going to write for your show anymore. I'm pulling out. I'm pulling my support for you. Women of color, if you support Lena Dunham, I'm asking you to pull it back because she's a fake. She's actually not, she's not who she says she is, right? And this girl went to school with Lena Dunham, was like, and I think they
went to... I'm only calling one shenanigans on you. You said F you. If I say N-word, I have to drink awful things. Say fuck you or don't say fuck you.
No, I'll say what I want to say.
Okay, fine. Then I don't have to drink the drink. Anyway.
Shut the F up. So, but this girl went to school with Lena Dunham, and she recounted her experiences of, you know, of Lena Dunham and her friends, and talked about this idea, this thing called hipster.
This clique, I guess.
Right. Well, she talked about the whole thing of hipster racism, right? And hipster racism is, and I've seen it, I've experienced it. It's where, you know, you get very progressive, far left white kids who come from money, who haven't really had to struggle in their lives, and you know, they come from the suburbs and everything's been handed to them. They go to private schools and they end up in college, and they're very far left in college at Columbia or Harvard or wherever it is. And you know, they wear the stupid hats and the glasses, and they all go to Starbucks, but you can't actually go to Starbucks. You have to go to some other off-brand Phoenix coffee or Caribou coffee or wherever the fuck you go. And they say asshole racist things, but then they say it sarcastically, and then they say that they're just joking, so that somehow mitigates the fact that it's kind of an asshole racist statement, right? And so Lena Dunham gets called. She's like, this shit, or her classmate said that Lena Dunham and her clique were guilty of this on a pretty consistent basis, of this whole idea of hipster racism, right? Like, they're fighting for the cause, and they want credit for fighting for the cause, but at the same time, they're saying and doing pretty racist asshole type shit, right? And then they counter it by saying, well, I was just being sarcastic, or it's just a joke. Relax. I'm on your side. High five. You know, peace be with you, brother. And then move on. So,
and I think in this case, your big beef is, this is where the rubber meets the road, right? Because, you know, she's not jumping to the fence of Al Franken. She's not, you know, saying let's give a fair shake to Al or Harvey Weinstein. Not that I'm saying either of those things should be done, but when it comes to someone on her team, it's
right? Okay. I mean, and here's the deal. Right. But here's the deal: the girl. So you have a 17-year-old girl of mixed race who's saying I was raped, right? If you're a social justice warrior, to me, that should send off all the alarms, and you should jump to that girl's defense and say, "Oh my God, I'm here with you. Let's figure out what happened and make sure that this doesn't happen again."
We need to be fair that allegations are not
no.
No.
What we need to do, what she should have done, right, based on her previous statements,
her history
on sexual assault and sexism and misogyny and everything else, right, is you have a young, like, right, and she's all about everything, like white people are racist, but she's not. She's there to fight for the plight, like her whole thing of Lenny's letters,
right?
That's her new project. And the whole point of that project is to promote like women of color and their writing, right? Like, so she's like, listen, I'm here to support you guys, right? So you have a woman of color, you have a woman of mixed race, and this girl, like the girl who's making these allegations of rape, like she's not just some nobody. Like her dad was the dude in the wheelchair on Oz, the black guy.
Oh, really?
On Oz, poet. Right? Yeah. And then he's been another stuff.
You don't know hip hop shit. I know who Poet is.
All right. Well, I mean, it's Oz.
It was great. It was a great show.
Right. I mean, come on. And I feel
so bitter about the last YouTube video where I watched. All right. Anyway, but we're also mad at you. So we're also on YouTube. Follow our YouTube channel, please.
But I mean, so this girl just wasn't some nobody. I mean, like she was, I mean, not that you have to be somebody to be defended, but the point is that all the markings were there for her to be able to come out. And so there's no reason why she shouldn't have been able to support this girl with no problem. But when it came down to it, when, like you said, when the rubber meets the road, she decided to defend her friend as opposed to going to the person who
had allegations against her friend. Yeah.
Right. And we don't know what happened. Right, and maybe it's an allegation. It's not true.
That's where I was going to go.
Which is fair.
A whole lot of court of public opinion going on now.
But this girl, you got a young minority girl who's saying that she was taken advantage of when she was 17 years old. My thought process is,
give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. Prop her up, and at the end of the day, if she proves you wrong, then she. If it all bears out and she's lying,
I completely agree
or
with
it's
that.
Not true that or whatever.
She needs support first and criticism second, right?
Right.
If it turns out that
and you can support her without necessarily burying him,
right? Yes,
right.
Yes,
I mean, absolutely. Here's the thing. You know how this is what Laura she should have done. Not said anything.
That would be another option,
right?
That's crazy talk, though.
Shut your mouth, because, I would have had no problem if she doesn't say anything, because chances are you're probably close to both these people, and you don't know what happened, and you need this to kind of sort itself out, right? You can, and we want it to figure itself out, but you're too close to both parties, so there's no reason for you to come out on Twitter or Facebook or on social media or anywhere, and say anything. We don't need to hear from you,
Ms.
Dunham.
That's option B, right? To say
that's option A. That should be option A.
What you're saying is option A. Then there's option B, which is I'm very close to this. I'm not going to comment now. Or is that what you said? I mean,
option A should be I'm too close to this.
Right.
I'm not going to say anything.
That would be
right. How many times have you watched?
That would be the better choice.
How many times have you watched a bad cop movie? Right, where they're just like, Briggs, you're too close to this. You can't be in this investigation. What do you mean? Right. Well.
My partner was killed.
Listen, Ms. Dunham, you are too close to this. Right. This actress was on your show. This producer is a friend of yours who was also on your show. This happened on your show. Right. Like while your show was filming, you're too close to this. Shut your mouth.
Right. So you're saying shut your mouth. I'm saying it's okay to come out and say, I'm stepping out. So I guess maybe we're saying the same thing.
Well, yeah, I mean,
one of them is without a statement, the other is with a statement.
Whether you make a statement or not,
don't jump into the fray
right.
without greater understanding. Or, I mean, if she has superior knowledge, then put it out there and own it, right? If she knows, oh, when that event occurred, I was sitting between them and.
Exactly.
Fine, cool.
Right.
You got.
You know, or she's saying this happened at such and such date and time, and
as it
me,
turns out,
and me and the, me and the accused were in, you know,
I don't like where this is going.
No. We were in another country or we were in another place. Okay, fine. But
if
I mean,
you can't do that. Then
right, like I mean,
step aside or publicly state that you're too close to the situation. The whole choosing sides at this point
right.
seems disingenuous. Now, and I get you. I get you. I thought your article was good.
Well, I mean, and then she came back after the fact and apologized for kind of jumping into it too early. Right. And
that makes it worse to me.
Right. She came in, she apologized for jumping into it too early and said, we have to see where, you know, and she apologized to anyone who she may have offended with what she said. Right.
But Jim, I hate that apology so much.
But Jim, you know who she didn't apologize to?
The alleged victim?
The girl who said she was raped at the age of 17. Right? Like a 17-year-old girl is like, I was raped by a 30-year-old man and I was taken advantage of on a set of a show. And she doesn't even acknowledge that girl in her apology. And that's what really set me off. It's like, so you go out, you realize where you fucked up, but what your realization is that it fucked up your image. It fucked up this image that you're trying to portray. So you apologize to the people who don't see you the way that you wanted them to see you, in the light that you wanted them to view you, and you are just completely devoid of empathy to the girl that is saying that this happened, that is making this allegation, which to me says she doesn't believe the girl. She still has full support for her friend, the accused, but she's just trying to kind of
toe the line, so to
right,
speak.
Toe the line and make up for the people that she pissed off, which is to me
garbage move. I agree. But one thing you said that you and I've had this conversation on the show and off, and we've disagreed pretty aggressively, and I stand by my position is. We need to not paint this with a broad brush, because sexual harassment, you know, verbal harassment and rape should not be in the same bucket. In this particular case, this is an allegation of literally sexually assaulting a young woman. That's way, way worse than saying something inappropriate, acting inappropriately. And what bothers me is when I say that, I get sometimes painted with the, you're justifying B because A is worse, and I am not doing that. And I fully acknowledge that mentality is killing us as a world, as a country, and as a world in terms of, you know, well, yeah, what about OJ? But Hitler did this. Okay, stop. I'm not recently, I defended Al Franken. I actually made a video to defend Al Franken from West Virginia, and before I could publish it, more shit came out, and I had to... I chose not to publish until I know more, but what Al Franken is accused of, not appropriate, not cool, whatever. But to put that in the same category as, say, Roy Moore or Harvey Weinstein if you're going to tell me I can't say apples and oranges, it's at worst grapefruit and tangelos, because they're not the same fucking thing. And I'm loving the look I'm getting back in return. They're not there's a big difference between saying inappropriate, being inappropriate, and assaulting a human being.
You want me to jump in and save you from yourself, or
no?
Nope. You want to keep going?
I think I've said what I had to say. Putting them in the same category, treating them the same, in my opinion, diminishes the really awful stuff. What this girl, Lena Dunham. Okay, jump in.
I get what you're saying. There are degrees to disrespecting women, sexually assaulting women, raping.
Don't say women as well. We talked to Terry Crews. I've been treated badly in ways by women in power. I mean,
Jim,
not looking for sympathy, but I get it.
Okay.
If we want that story, we do it as a sidebar, because it's a good story.
We don't.
If you do email me, jim@whiskeyhours.com.
Let me... I get where you're coming from. And there's... What you're saying makes sense. There are degrees to these various transgressions. Absolutely. There's a bigger picture here.
Okay.
And the bigger picture is women have to deal with an undue amount of pressure, disrespect, mistreatment, abuse that men just don't see. Some of it happens to men.
Completely agree.
Right. It happens completely to men. Agree. Like, you have stories like, just wait. You said your piece. Relax. So you got the Terry Crews situations. You have the Kevin Spacey where it was like a gay dude on another dude or whatever. Like, you have those sort of instances in those situations, but those are in the minority compared to what women have to deal with, from catcalls to things in the office to, you know, butt grabs to tit grabs to, you know, inappropriate comments to aggressive kisses to, you know,
understood.
Inappropriate
pictures. Sure.
To, you know,
just take a joke.
But it progresses to, you know, passed out drunk, slipping a finger in, passed out drunk, rape.
Wow.
Actual physical rape.
Yes.
Rape in an alley. Like, all of that's there's all those different levels of what women have to deal with. And no, they're not all the same, but at the same time, it's all levels of disrespect and mistreatment that they have to deal with. So while you're saying, like, I get it. Okay, well, but you, like, the problem is, over the last 100 years since we've kind of grown up as a society, we've tried the whole, well, we'll just do it in degrees. But what's happened is the little stuff gets swept under the rug, but everything that gets, like, the things that get swept under the rug are getting bigger and bigger, right? Like, Harvey Weinstein sounds like a fucking monster.
Yes.
Right? And like, there's a pattern of behavior there, and that entire pattern of behavior was swept under a rug for 20 fucking years.
Yes.
And, well, but there's also...
Swept under a rug by him for 20 years. It was probably swept under a rug 60 years before that. I mean, I think probably since the inception of Hollywood, that was happening, which doesn't make it okay in any way. I'm just saying, don't make it sound like Harvey Weinstein invented that.
I'm not at all.
Okay.
But all there's, right. I mean, he's the image. He's the
person. Oh, yeah. Right. And he's a disgusting human being.
So, but, so this is where, I don't want to characterize you, but you're not leaving.
Do it, because I'm going to come back with it. Come
right.
Back
I mean, so this is the almost
45-year-old white guy. Even though 46, but
yeah, this is the middle-aged white guy sort of defense. Like, what's wrong with what I'm doing?
No, that's not
okay.
What I'm
well,
saying
but
at
you
all.
Have to
what
understand. That's how you come off. That's how you come off right now. And listen, this is bigger than you, right? This is bigger than you, and this is bigger than white guys, right? Like, this is bigger than middle-aged white guys. This is bigger than guys in general, black, white, or whatever. Right, women are dealing with shit that we just don't have to deal with. All right, Terry Crews story, yes. The gay guys that Kevin Spacey hit on, yes. But this is mostly a women issue. Right, this is 99% a women issue. And the small stuff and the big stuff, while you say, oh, well, this isn't the same as this, you're exactly right. It's not the same. But the problem is, when you let the little stuff go, you continue, like, as you let the little stuff go, you are willing to let more and more little stuff go, and that little stuff grows, so you have people like Harvey Weinstein that are raping women in hotels and getting away with it, right?
Here's where I totally disagree with what you're saying. I'm not saying let anything go. I could not fundamentally disagree with you more, because what I'm saying is when
right,
you
fine.
When,
oh, I know what you're saying. Oh, no,
let me finish. Let me finish.
I'm going to tell you right now.
All
right,
go ahead.
What has to happen is overcorrection. You're having an overcorrection, because this has been going on for so long. We've been making fun of this for like, listen, they've been making fun of the way men treat women in the workplace since I remember fucking 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton and Dabney Coleman and some of the inappropriate
Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda,
yeah,
great movie.
Like, I mean, but the inappropriate gestures that were made in that movie, which it's amazing because I haven't seen that movie since I was fucking 10. But I mean, like, we've been talking about this for, like, I'm 37 years old, and I can remember as far back when I was 7 years old, like, jokes being made about this type of behavior in the workplace in movies, okay? So, chances are, so to your point earlier, this has been going on way before that. Like, if it got to the 80s when they were making fun of it, right, then chances are it's been known in Hollywood and in that realm for 20 to 30 years before that, right?
9 to 5, probably the 70s, by the way.
True that. But, I mean, so my point is a lot of things were let go for a long time. So now we're at a point in 2017, at the end of 2017, now you're seeing an overcorrection. You're seeing an overcorrection for the amount of shit that was let go, the number of women who didn't say a word about anything, whether they were whistled at, catcalled, you know, they had a boss who rubbed up against them, they had a boss who made suggestive, you know, or a coworker who made suggestive statements to someone that was actually physically and brutally raped, right? No matter what it was, they did, these women said nothing, and it was in their best interest to say nothing for the last 30 years, 40 years, right?
50 years, 70 years, 60 years, 70 years, 100 years.
It was in their best interest to say nothing.
And so now,
unfortunately, you don't get the opportunity to say, well,
I'm not saying don't speak out. I'm just saying don't treat a shoplifter like a mass murderer.
I'm saying you don't get to make that distinction. Sorry.
No, I'm saying you just don't get to make it anymore. Hold on, why not? Why can't I say?
Because it's so rampant. It's so bad that you have, because you have so many cross offenders, right? Guys who were just shoplifters, and you have guys who were shoplifters and mass murderers.
Prosecute them all. Just don't call them all the same crime. That's what I'm saying.
Unfortunately, Jim, you're not going to get that. There's going to be a massive overcorrection right now. And where you and I disagree, I think that massive overcorrection has to happen. You have to, like this, whether you're grabbing ass when you're not supposed to be and it's uninvited, if you grab somebody's ass on stage and they don't want their ass grabbed, sorry, you're going to get slapped with the crown. You get fired from your job.
Okay.
Right? That's what's being called for, right?
Look, if I grab a coworker's ass, I work for me, so
whatever.
I've worked in the corporate world 20 some years. If I grab someone's ass, I'm getting fired, and I fucking should.
Okay,
I'm
not. So all fucking should be fired.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, hold on. What the ass grabbing thing? I want to know the details on.
Second accuser said he grabbed my ass while we were on stage.
All right. If that's true, he should be investigated. If it's proven, he should be fired. He shouldn't be fired because someone said he grabbed my ass. I had an incident in high school when I went to hug a friend while with my girlfriend next to me, and my hand hit my ass.
There's a different conversation. See, there's a different conversation.
Julie from Lackawanna could say I grabbed her ass inappropriately. I did not intend to. She and I have joked about it for 20 years since.
Okay.
Whatever.
There's a different conversation between your initial argument and what you're saying now. Okay. There's a different conversation, and that different conversation is if you're making an allegation,
right?
Then we have to figure out like
all it right. can't be burn them on an allegation, right?
We need to figure all right. We need to figure out there needs to be some veracity. We need like okay, was the person actually there? We need to go through and look at the timeline, feasibility. Is it possible? Is there any sort of proof?
Still innocent until proven guilty, right? You aren't charged with a crime.
You are still innocent until proven guilty, but some of the stuff isn't criminal, right? I mean, right. Outside of the statute of limitations, some of it like isn't actually a crime, but there is.
I come off as the son of a bitch in this whole thing.
No, it's not. But I mean, like I get exactly what you're saying. We can't lump everybody together, but at the same time, listen. The mistreatment of women overall from the smallest scale to the largest scale has been going on for centuries.
And
for the longest time, women had no voice. I mean, literally up until 50 years ago, like, I mean, women couldn't say anything, right? None of this was a crime, right? Like, I mean, over the last 100 years, we've said, okay, let's give women more rights. And by giving women more rights, we've said things like domestic abuse and, you know, rape and sexual assault. We've criminalized these things that were before just normal, like normal day-to-day actions, right? Like if and a woman stepped out of line, you punched her in the face. You know, I mean,
true. That time existed.
There was a time where that. Right. I mean, and I'm not saying that you defended it, but the problem is while we have said, okay, some of these actions are criminal actions, we put time limits on the amount of time that we can prosecute these actions. And then when a certain amount of time goes by and a woman doesn't say anything, then there's assumptions that are made. Right? Like there's some, well, I mean, it was a long time ago. If it was really that big of a deal, you would have said something when it initially happened. I'm not accusing you of saying that, but Jim, when
go on.
When you go to the card of, well, we can't lump all these guys in the same basket, you know, we need to have degree. I'll agree with you that there are degrees and variances of mistreatment and sexual abuse and sexual harassment. Absolutely agree. But when you have men in power, right, when you have these men in power, whether they're congressmen or Hollywood stars or CEOs and executives, well, unfortunately, you're going to get lumped in the same.
So that's the part I'm not objecting to. In fact, not only I'm not objecting to cross industry. In fact, I think one of the biggest injustices is the fact that it started in Hollywood. And then trickle down to politics. Maybe you could say it started with politics with Trump and the grab by the pussy thing. But Harvey Weinstein, to me, seemed to have started the snowball rolling. And I care way less about Hollywood than people who make public policy. No disrespect to the victims, just, you know, the idea of someone making a movie versus someone enacting laws that could impact the lives of the entire country. Again, apples and oranges. Not saying what apples did are okay, but the impact they have is way different than oranges. I mean, Al Franken, I've been very clear that I'm a fan of the guy. I am very disappointed in what I've heard.
You gotta go.
Okay, you know, I think he had to go. All right.
So in my opinion, he had to go off the first allegation. Now that there's a second allegation, I think he's
really?
Gotta go.
Really? I totally disagree with you because the person that made the first allegation said he doesn't have to go. So why are you more offended than her?
It's not that I'm offended. It's just that, like, listen.
She said, "Don't."
I don't care about. It's not.
Why doesn't her opinion matter more than yours on that?
It's no longer about her opinion, Jim. It's not about her opinion. I can't trust her opinion because you're talking about a man in power. I don't know what he said to her. I don't know how he's tried to influence her. Like that's why it doesn't. Like he's again a person in the position of power. You're
but and she, so she's a radio show host. So she you're has saying no impact
so,
on him.
So you're
she,
he has so no you're saying at
the time, right?
You saw what he did, right? Like he got the picture
of the groping video.
Right. I mean,
photo. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I would never do that. Right?
I wouldn't either. Right? I sure as hell wouldn't ask someone to take a picture of it.
And then I wouldn't ask someone to take a picture of it.
Which shows a couple things. It shows, A, bad decision. B, you don't think you're doing anything as a big deal because you ask someone to document your really bad decision. My point is, the woman that was the victim of that act said, I don't want him to resign. So why should he resign because public opinion or you say he should when she is saying don't?
Because you have to look at the action in and of itself. Is that acceptable? If she was your daughter, how would you react?
I don't. All right. See, I hate that argument.
I don't care if you hate it or not. How would you react?
I would be pissed. And if I saw Al Franken, I'd punch him in the fucking nose.
Okay. Right.
And if my daughter said, hey, Dad, don't punch him in the nose, I might still do it.
Okay.
But
so here's the deal. Here's the deal. Stop right there. I'm sorry. You can't be in a position. I can't have you in a person as. Because of your decision making, right? Because of your thought process and decision making, I can't trust you in your position anymore, right? I thought you, like, because of, like, everything into, he's come out and he condemned Harvey Weinstein. He condemned other people who have been accused of sexual assault. And then I turn around and I see you doing those type of actions. I can no longer trust you. You're in a position of power. I want you out of that seat. Goodbye. I don't care what she says.
I think her opinion trumps public opinion.
It doesn't.
You can say that. I disagree with you.
Why is she saying that? You know why she's saying that? Because she doesn't want to be the person who said, I want Al Franken out of his seat. All right? She wants her cake, and she wants to be able to eat it, too. All right, she wants to be able to say, listen, I thought this was wrong, but not wrong enough for him to, you know, lose his job. Right? Like, I mean, she there's a reason why she felt the reason to come out and speak, but now she also knows she doesn't want to be in that position where, like, because she doesn't want the blowback and the backlash from people that support Al Franken and saying, you're the reason that he's out of his seat, right? Like, she wants to be able to say, hey, he did me dirty,
in my opinion, you're not projecting onto her.
What?
You're projecting onto her. How do you know why she's saying that?
Nah, bro. No. Pause. I'm telling you, Al Franken needs to lose his job because of his poor decision-making, period. Right? You're saying that he doesn't need to lose his job because one person said doesn't?
No, the person the act that you're talking about, though.
Okay, what if he would have fucking raped her? What if he would have raped her and she said, well, I didn't want him to fuck me, but he did, and it was non-consensual, but I don't think he should lose his job over it. Okay, what do you say?
I say, you're accusing him of rape, charge him with rape, put him through the criminal process. Did he commit a crime?
Jim, that's not what I said. I said if he raped her and then she comes back and says, well, he did rape me, but I don't think he should lose his job. So should he lose his job?
Well, if he's convicted of rape, he's going to jail, and that tends to promote... you're losing me on this one.
It's unbelievable. I wish this was fucking live because this is unfucking believable.
It is live.
You're fucking... Why? Okay.
We're recording this live.
I need someone else with fucking common sense to come in here and see this. Whether she says...
The victim shouldn't be allowed to say...
The victim doesn't get to choose. The victim doesn't get to choose. I'm sorry. Like, yes, because she's a victim, now it enters the court of public opinion, and her public opinion trumps her. Yes, it absolutely does. That's why that's why a jury isn't made up of the fucking victim, right? When we commit these, when crimes are committed, right? It's just like, well, you know, the victim said he doesn't want him to go to jail, so all right, well, doesn't get to go to jail, right? Like, that's not how it works. Right, like Al Franken, you lose your job because of your poor decision making. I don't care whether the victim says she doesn't want you to lose your job or not. You lose your job because as a public official, we trust you to not make shitty decisions. You made a shitty decision, you lose your job. I don't care if this one person who happens to be the victim says, I don't want you to lose your job.
So hold on, we're not talking about a criminal thing, right?
No.
We're talking about public opinion. We're talking about like, why is what the victim feels not more relevant than what the general public wants to His job at the time was to be a comedian at a USO event, right? He was not a US senator. Yes. He was at a USO event, and I can't put myself in those shoes, but you know, they're out the traveling entertainers trying to entertain troops, screwing around, doing whatever they're doing. Why is what happened to her at that event when he was not a U.S. senator not her opinion first?
If she wanted it just to be between her and him, then she could have taken it to her and him. As soon as it became public and it was a story that was published for 100,000 million people to see,
we disagree.
We don't disagree. You lose. You're wrong. I'm sorry. Victims don't get to choose the outcome for the
you're
accuser.
You're being a lawyer now.
I'm not. Well, sorry. That's the way it goes, bro. I mean, you can get mad at me for being logical and being a lawyer, but that's your disagreement is so far out of the realm of fucking reality. I can't even deal with it right now.
Really?
Listen, the victim doesn't get to choose the outcome of the accused. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about law or the court of public opinion. Once it enters the court of public opinion, the victim, unfortunately, doesn't have a voice anymore.
Okay. So let me try to spin this back at you. So when the let's say that the girl that made the rape accusation, the Lena Dunham thing, if she said it wasn't rape, he actually looked at me in a disgusting way. I made a mistake. I'm doing a bad job with that. But you know what? This is not going well.
It's not going well because you're wrong.
No, well, it's not. We disagree. I'm not saying I'm wrong.
Okay, you can not say it, but
all
you
right,
are.
All right, you can agree. You can believe I am. Steve, you know what?
You need to explain to me how I'm wrong.
Because I think you.
What's Al Franken's job right now as a congressman?
Senator.
Or senator, as
his job as a senator is to do a job. His job as a senator,
and what's required, a big part of that is what public trust, right?
Sure, yeah,
right.
And you know what?
He's a public servant.
Public trust record. If it's about public trust, his public trust record, and there have been multiple scores of women who have come out and said, "I've worked with this guy,
and I support him, and he's great, yes, and everything
yes,
else,
yes, yes,
right,
yeah."
But then,
and the person that you're saying we need to jump in to defend is saying
No. I'm not saying no. This isn't to defend her. This isn't about defending her. This isn't about protecting her, right? Like she's come out, she's told her story,
right?
Right.
And he said, investigate me. Let's get this right.
And we
to
have,
his credit, right?
We have proof of what he did based on a picture.
Well, hold on. We have proof of what? We have proof that he pretended. We have proof that he pretended. We have proof that he put his hands in front of her breasts while she was passed out in a flak jacket at a USO event, and it's stupid and ugly. I don't know that he physically touched her.
Yeah, and you get fired for that. You lose your job for that. I'm sorry.
So you lose your job. The USO should fire him for that.
As a congressman, you're fired. You lose your job. Sorry, go away.
All right.
Listen.
So first of all, let's do some.
Donald Trump has said he grabs women by the pussy, he goes up to them and kisses them just because he wants to, and that's how he makes bitches his whatever. Donald Trump should not be president based off of that statement alone.
As much as it makes me sick to say that, I disagree.
Okay.
I think Donald Trump should. He didn't get.
Fine.
He didn't.
You know what, Jim? Fine. You're right.
Shut. No,
you know
I'm,
what?
I'm not, you know,
you're
I'm,
right. I'm, you know what? Hey, do it your way, bro. Do it your way.
All right.
You know what? You're not right. Actually, you're wrong. You're wrong so many different ways. This behavior is unacceptable. I don't give a fuck what your job was when you did it. I don't give a fuck what your job was when you did. I don't care that you were on a USO tour. You should have better judgment than that as a man.
I agree.
Stop. You said you wouldn't do it, right?
Yes, I would not do it.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Because it's disgusting.
Okay.
I'm not arguing with that.
Okay, so at the end of the day, you're a fucking senator.
Drink it.
You're a senator, and you're sitting here and telling me, as a senator, like, I'm supposed to just bypass this behavior that you showed to me that is unacceptable? I can't have that. You get fired. Lose your fucking job. A CEO would lose his job, right?
The president didn't lose his fucking job. The president got his job doing it.
Obviously, that's part of the problem.
Here. That's why we're here right now, by the way.
That's why we are here. Don't use that as a, well, see, that,
I'm
that's
not
why agree. It makes perfect
I think
sense.
I think we're on both sides of this.
No, we're not on both sides of this. Like, you're sitting here defending Al Franken and saying that he shouldn't lose his job as a senator because why? Right? Because the person that he did it to, well, okay, again, if I rape someone, And that person says, you know what? Well, I didn't. It wasn't consensual. It wasn't consensual.
Isn't there a victim statement thing in court? Like, don't victims get to state their position on things?
Let me explain this to you,
please.
If you rape someone, and it gets proven in court that
yes,
you raped them,
yes.
And the victim says, yeah,
I was in a rape trial like 2 months ago. I'm well aware of how that system works.
Are you really going to use your experience in one fucking trial as a fucking juror to fucking counteract
finish your point. Just don't claim like I don't know what it looks like because I was on the inside.
Jim?
Yes.
I'm claiming that you don't know what the fuck you're talking about right now because the idea that there's a victim statement. And so somehow a victim statement.
Well, there was no victim statement because there's no. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, finish.
Right. Just calm down. All right. Let me explain this to you. If you have a victim statement where the victim says, if I go in and say, hey, was this consensual? No. Period. That's the only question.
Wow.
Was this consensual? No, it was not consensual. Okay. But he's a really nice guy and I really like him and I don't really want him to go to jail. Okay. Great. Thanks. Get down. That being said, what exactly defines this crime we call rape? X, Y, and Z. Did X, Y, and Z happen? Yes. Oh, but the victim said she liked him and he was a really swell guy and she didn't want him to go to jail. Great. Has nothing to do with anything that you're taking back to the jury room, right?
I mean, I think we're talking about sentencing or we're talking about conviction here. Holy shit, Steve, this has gone so off the rails. I don't even know where to go with
this. Right, because you're sitting here defending Al Franken for no fucking reason other than maybe you like him or you're just pissed that guys are fucking getting called to account for their shitty behavior.
No,
listen, you can get as pissed at me as you want. You can tell me how you're not right. No. Here's the deal.
You're yelling at me more than I'm yelling at you.
I am yelling at you because I'm trying to save you from yourself. You are fucking this up royally right now for yourself, right? Like, I mean, and listen, take this episode, let every woman that you know listen to it, and then come back to me.
Like I'm going
to
hide it from anybody.
No. I want you to take it directly and tell girl X, Y, and Z to listen to the episode, and then I want you to see how... I'm just curious to see how they side with you.
Steve, I will be very curious. I will be very curious. Look, here's why I love doing the show with you.
I don't care about why you love doing the show with me.
I don't care if you don't care. I'm going to do this anyway. I want to have open, honest talk. I got called out in West Virginia this week about being, quote unquote, you know, too intellectual. Well, we're not doing that tonight. I totally believe everything I said.
You're sure not.
All right. Steven, look, we obviously have some serious disagreements here. I would love to hear the feedback because
the disagreement here worries me. Jenna.
Why?
It worries me because...
What do you think I'm saying? Let's try to do that. Because one thing that falls short in most conversations is getting off track. And I've been watching way too many political YouTube debates. So I'll tell you what. Let me be even more fair. Let me try to state what I'm trying to get across and let you retort. I am not defending Al Franken on anything. Nothing. If he deserves to get fired for what he did... He flat out called out for a senatorial investigation on himself. If that is dismissible, or if the people that he assaulted or infringed upon say this is what should happen, and he chooses to or is chosen to step down, fine. I'm saying do not lump him as a creepy, weird older guy who did not attack a person in the same category as those who did. Because there are those people out there all over this. And my thought is when you try to lump everything into one bushel, you fuck it up because the people who shoplift get treated the same as the people who are serial murderers. And I want to make sure the serial murderers don't get away with their stuff because it's treated on the same plane. Your floor, sir.
My thing is... You, whether it's a picture or it's a forced kiss, whether it's a grab of the ass, whether it's unwanted grinding, whether it's unwanted fingering or unwanted fucking, it all has consequences to the psyche of a young or old woman, no matter what. Again, I said we're going through an age of an overcorrection brought on by Harvey Weinstein. And you're saying they all can't be prosecuted in the same bucket. Fair. From a criminal standpoint, you're right. You know, is there grounds to charge Harvey Weinstein with a crime? Al Franken. Is there grounds to charge Al Franken with a crime? Probably not. And he's not being charged with a crime. But he might lose his job over it.
Okay.
And if he loses his job over it, I agree with it. I think he should, quite frankly, because given his outrage, right, against people like Harvey Weinstein and, you know, some of the other people Roy Moore and other people he's spoken out against, for this to come out, like, really? Oh, well, that was the old me. That was comedy me. I'm a senator, so, you know, I'm different now. Are you really? I mean, you were a fucking 45-plus-year-old man when that shit happened. So you mean to tell me because you've been a senator for however long, like, you've had these big changes in your personality and who you are? I don't know if I actually agree with that. So my thing is, Al Franken, I'm sorry. As a public, we've lost your trust, and you can sit here and show me all these women who trust you, and the victim says, you know what, I don't think he should lose his job. But again, we're talking about a victim, right? You don't trust victim statements for a reason. There's a reason why we don't sit there and listen to the victim. When the you listen to the victim statement, typically the victim statement is not very adorning of the accused. But you can only take the victim statements for so much because there's psychological reasons why you don't do that. So a guy like Al Franken, am I going to make an example of him? Yep. And he needs, ultimately, if Al Franken legitimately were the, warrior that he said he is or claims to be, then he would get up on that cross and he would take the L. He would get up on the cross. He should resign and just say, you know what? Of all the values that I sit there and that I preach and everything else, like, I fucked up. Yeah, it was before my time as a senator, but at the end of the day, I fucked up, right? I mean, because he as a senator, he ran on, you know, being a guy of the people and the person you could trust and blah, blah, blah. But that wasn't true, right? Because, you know, like, that particular victim, she couldn't trust him, right? She did trust him, and he violated that trust. Now, she can say, I don't think he should lose his job, but he violated her trust. So she's going to say, I don't want him to get fired, but she's trying to balance everything, right? She's calling out the wrong that he did, but she's looking at it and saying, well, he did me dirty, but I guess I don't know if he should lose his job over it, and I don't necessarily want him to lose his job over it. I don't want to be viewed as the person who cost him his job, so... you know, I mean, he did this to me, but I don't think he should lose his job. Like, what type of position is that for her to be in? Like, that kind of sucks. And so I think you take it out of her hands and he loses his job, right? Now, I'm not lumping him in the same category as a Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein should be in jail.
Yes.
Right? And like, but I'm going to, like, listen.
And Roy Moore maybe should, but it's past the right day,
Roy Moore, like, I mean, he can't because of the statute of limitations, but Roy Moore is an asshole, right? Louis C.K.
is an asshole, yeah.
Is an asshole, is an admitted asshole.
And that's a great difference. So I'm fans of both of those guys.
And Louis C.K. is paying a price.
Yes.
For his price. Indiscretions. Right? And
financially,
no,
anyway.
No, he's not a senator, but I mean, the studios are pulling his projects and he's not going on stage and he's not going anywhere. And that's a price that he has to pay. And Al Franken needs to pay a price for it. Not just I said I'm sorry. Like, Al Franken needs to pay a price. There needs to, because if he doesn't, and she comes, this is the biggest thing. She came out and said, he violated me. We saw proof of it, right? And if the only punishment is Al Franken put a thing out on Twitter calling for his own investigation, but nothing happens, he doesn't lose his job, and he goes on and continues to be able to do what he has to do other than a minor, 2 months where he had to answer questions, then what really happened, right? Like, what was the point of her coming out? Like, I mean, and what's the deterrent? Where's the justice?
I don't know what the justice is. I just want to say that the person that
important, like the fact that you like Al Franken,
what's more important to me is that the person that says, "Here's what happened, and here's what I want or expect out of this," should not be exceeded by public opinion.
Well, public opinion, like, I mean, in the vast majority of, like, that's why law, like, that's not but, how but, any but, law, but not, public opinion, but none of that.
Lose your job is not a law thing, right?
Right.
It's a public opinion thing. And why should her opinion be trumped by public opinion, no pun intended?
Listen, ultimately, the state of Minnesota, right?
Well, the USO thing can happen overseas.
No. But...
yeah, Minnesota's where Al Franken's
Minnesota's going to determine whether he keeps his job.
Hey, if Al Franken is voted out by Minnesotans, I have no problem with that. I respect that. That is how it works.
And my whole point is that everyone in Minnesota right now.
Judge it. Absolutely.
Are the ones who should be saying,
yes,
fuck this guy.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Minnesota voters should make the decision.
I'm not saying he should lose his job arbitrarily. Like, someone should just come in with an axe and cut him off and say, boot, you're gone. What I'm saying, if I were in the state of Minnesota and I were and I had a vote, I'd be like, peace. Get the fuck out.
Totally fair. All right. Finally, we're on the same page. When Al Franken is on the ballot next, or if Al Franken chooses not to be on the ballot next, or if he chooses to put, or if the state chooses to put him on the ballot, it should 100% be up to the citizens of Minnesota. And if they say, you are no longer qualified to be our senator, then that is a totally different question, and I totally agree it should be up to the citizens. That is democracy, Stephen.
That is democracy, James.
I love democracy. All right, brother. Yeah, I do. Democracy about whiskey, too.
It almost seems like for our love of democracy, we should have a third person so we could have a true democracy.
Who's the third
at Whiskey Congress?
Who's that going to be?
I don't know. I don't think we can have it. I don't know if there's a third person.
We need at least six or eight
who can handle the windstorm.
Fair enough. Stephen, despite your objection to me loving doing the show with you, I love doing this with you, man. Mm-hmm. It was good talk. You get mad at me all you want.
I'm not mad anymore. I didn't throw anything at you.
No, you didn't. But
I didn't physically assault you.
Not yet. But now you got the headphones on.
I have two bottle caps. I have a bottle opener.
I did not realize the.
I have a box.
I did not realize.
I have plenty of things that I could have.
The weapon.
I could have thrown at you,
Stephen.
I could have assaulted you with.
You could have.
And then in your victim statement, you could have said, I don't think he should go to jail.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, okay.
Put that motherfucker in jail for a long time.
Oh, okay.
And send him to Minnesota. And
that's where my lawyer would have argued to disregard the statements of the victim.
Listen to this show. I love you, man. Mm-hmm. Good talk. Enjoyed it. Let's talk a little bit about sports, and then we'll call it a night. But let's shut this down. We'll do a bonus show about sports, all right?
Yep.
All right. Later, brother. I really, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm.